If you were walking around the streets of Rome in the year zero, around the time that Jesus was born, and if you were to overhear on the streets somebody talking about Lord, Savior, Son of God, Prince of Peace, immediately you would think to yourself, oh, they're talking about Jesus, the newborn baby, my Lord and my God, my Savior, the one who brings peace and salvation and joy to the world. And as you would think about that, your heart would be filled with joy and your soul with contentment as you bask in the beauty of that wonderful thought. But if you continued listening in on the conversation, you'd realize, oh, wait a minute. They're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about Caesar. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome. Well, how can this possibly be? And what's more is, these people on the streets have never even heard of Jesus. They don't know his name. They never heard his name. Absolutely incredible. When Jesus was born, Emperor Augustus was on the throne in Rome. He'd come to power after a long period of fighting, and conflict, and battles, and civil war, after the death of his adoptive father, Julius Caesar. Augustus had put an end to all the conflict and fighting and established a long period of peace around the world, or at least the known world at the time, that we know today as the Pax Romana, Roman peace. It was a time of renewed stability, peace, comfort, good tidings to all, and security. People who had previously lived in fear of conflict and war could finally put those fears aside. Children could go back out on the streets and play. People could resume their lives. Merchants could sell their wares. Fishermen could fish. Farmers could farm. Artists could do their art. Craftspeople could craft. It was a lovely time in the world again. It's the longing of every generation, isn't it? To go back to a simpler time, back to a lovely time that we remember before there were talks and rumors of war, conflict, corruption, and pandemic, or whatever else that is going on in the world. Anyway, the people were so thankful to Augustus for bringing this peace and salvation to the world that they began to hail him as Lord and worship him as Son of God. To our way of hearing things, this is absolute blasphemy. When I hear it, it just grates on my nerves. But that was the language that they used to show their thanksgiving. Augustus, by the way, was a nickname. His name was Octavian. Augustus means exalted one. So that's what they called him. He was the exalted one, the one who brought peace and salvation to the world. Now, if you would imagine yourself back on those streets of Rome, you might be tempted to shout out, no, 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 wait just a minute. You've got it all wrong. Stop everything. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is. Caesar is not Savior. Jesus is. Caesar's not the Prince of Peace. Jesus is. Caesar is not the exalted one. Jesus is. And if you can identify with that feeling, then you can understand fully why Luke wrote his gospel It's the reason why all the Gospels were written. They wanted to get this message across. It was welling up with inside them. They were compelled to get this message out, to proclaim to the world that this newborn baby born in Bethlehem, whose name was Jesus, born to a poor couple of no particular importance, in this poor section of the empire, Judea, and this little town, Bethlehem, of no particular importance, just a speck in the Roman Empire, this baby is the Christ. This baby is Lord. This baby is Savior. This baby is the Prince of Peace. This baby is the Exalted One. Now, you might have to brace yourself for laughter because they're going to laugh at you. They're not going to expect to hear this. This baby is the Christ. This baby is the Savior. Yeah, right. That would sound as ridiculous to them as it is for them to say to us that Caesar is the Savior, that Caesar is the Prince of Peace. But that shouldn't stop you from trying. And that's exactly what the Gospels were doing, to get this message out loud and clear so nobody could be mistaken. We come to the third and final week of our summer series, our summer preaching series here, June, July, and August. Some are God's, some are not. This Sunday, August. And August is named after Augustus, the emperor of the world when Jesus was born. Now, unlike Julius Caesar, Augustus is named in the Bible, which I know contradicts what I said last week, right? As soon as I say something, just put that out of your head because I'm going to say something else the next week. You know, I said last week, the Bible doesn't name Caesars. The Bible doesn't name Pharaohs of Egypt. Well, there's an exception to every rule, and this week is one of them. Caesar is named Augustus in the Bible, and you find him in Luke 2, the Christmas story, according to Luke. We hear it every year at Christmas time and the occasional sermon when the pastor decides to read the Christmas story in the middle of summer. Well, here we are, Emperor Augustus, Caesar of Rome, in Luke 2. Now, two things might be helpful to keep in mind. Luke was not like the other writers of the Bible. He was not Jewish. He was a Gentile. He was not like Matthew. He was not like Mark. He was not like John. He was not like all of the writers of the Old Testament. So he's writing from a very different framework and background and tradition with all kinds of different experiences. So he's not of that same mindset to perhaps not name these Caesars. But in addition to that, he has a very important reason. A salient reason that is particular to his context to get across his message to his audience and, of course, to us. It was a pretty bold point, pretty bold claim, quite frankly. His point was that if Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. If Jesus is Savior, Caesar is not. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Caesar is not. If Jesus is the Exalted One, Caesar is not. As a matter of fact, if Jesus is Lord, no one else is. No ruler, no king, no prince, no army, no empire, no president, no one, nothing is Lord but Jesus the Christ. Isn't that marvelous? It is marvelous. But it's also dangerous. Dangerous talk. Maybe not so much today, but at the time that Luke was saying it, it was very dangerous talk. Insubordination at best. Insurrection more likely. And the kind of talk that could get your head chopped off or crucified. Or thrown in the Colosseum where you come face to face with some hungry lions. Luke's bold proclamation is ours as well, and one that we feel quite comfortable making in the church today. Sing with me again our chorus. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, we are proclaiming that everything else in our lives is not. We are proclaiming that everything else in the world is not. That proclamation has real power in our lives, in our world. A power over every idol, a power over all of our treasures, a power over all of our golden calves, a power over all of our loyalties, our passions, our loves, our allegiances, our attachments, our addictions, the things we can't let go of. And it puts them in their place, or knocks them down a few pegs at the very least. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say that God is first and that everything else comes second. Easier said than done, but at least we make the proclamation. God is first, everything else is second. Jesus is Lord, everything else is not. This is the Christmas proclamation. This is the Christmas story. Not everybody hears it. I think it's because we all have a little bit going on at Christmas time, right? Visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads keep us from hearing the message. People would say that Christmas is primarily about the fact that Jesus is born. It's not. It's primarily about the fact that Jesus is Lord. There, you've heard it. No sugar plums to blame this time. Maybe pumpkin spice, but no sugar plums. We've heard it. That Jesus is Lord, and that is on our lips, is a message that needs to ring out, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year. So how does this affect us? Well, there's unifying power in it. Unifying power when we come together as one body under the supremacy of Christ. Unifying power knowing that we can all come together in one common creed. And I am convinced and have kept saying that one of the problems in the world today, one of the problems with why we are so divided, is because we have no common creed. We have moved away from common creeds. We have moved toward individual creeds. And we are so ready to crucify one another for everything. And all of our opinions are out there, and all of our thoughts are out there, and we lift them up like they're gods and goddesses. And our opinions and our politics and our thoughts on everything gets propped up, and we worship that rather than worshiping what we are called to worship. Half-truths. And the problem with half-truths is they're only half-true. There's a part of it that's not true. But we speak out of our own context. And within our own context, we might be exactly right. But when we step out of our context, we see that somebody else may be partly right as well. And so to claim that Jesus is Lord, or Christ is Lord, or Christ is Savior, or Christ is the Prince of Peace, puts us all back together under that same banner. It is not you against me. It is not me against you. It is us together against hate. It is us together against injustice. It is us together to protect one another. It is us together to care for one another. It is us together to listen to one another and hear where you're right and I'm wrong, and hear where I'm right and you're wrong. That's a challenge. Who are the Caesars of our world? It's all of us. It's all of us because we prop ourselves up like Caesar. We all are, and we all are. And when we prop up our opinions like gods and goddesses, then we are worshiping idols. Our opinions are idols. Our politics become idols. And whether we realize it or not, what we're doing is boldly proclaiming, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, which the same as saying, I'm Caesar, I'm Caesar, I'm Caesar. I am Augustus. I am the exalted one. Where when we step back from that and out of our context and listen humbly, we realize we're not. There is only one Lord. There is only one Savior. And we would do well to remember that. Because when we say that Jesus is Lord, we're also saying, guess what? I am not. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.